This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, we're back. The band's back together again. The WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike and Spike and Fritz on a beautiful Monday. Ike, how are we feeling?
Well, Brother Spike, it's good to see you again.
Mm-hmm.
Long time no see.
Yep.
Jackie paternity leave.
Oh, look who's back.
Welcome back.
Oh.
My goodness. My goodness. All of a sudden now, two, three.
He's getting there. A month. He's a month.
Oh, goodness. How at you, boy.
Who's Jack Fritz?
Good to be back.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah, you happy to be back?
No, I'm thrilled.
We weren't so sure.
Well, honestly, like, if I heard one more about Harris's elite, I had to... That's the real reason I took off last week.
Well, yeah. Someone asked. They said... I said, I can guarantee you, if the Eagles had lost the Super Bowl and then Jalen Hurts threw three interceptions, there wouldn't be paternity leave this week.
Fritz would be here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He'd been riding the wave.
That's my quarterback style.
Yeah. Good to have you back, Jack Fritz.
Oh, good to be here.
Very, very good to have you back.
We'll decide that in 4 hours.
Yeah. What's that?
Well, I'm not going to, I'm not going to add much, you know. Pretty overrated, honestly.
Well, I'm better than the alternative.
Well, the alternative is Fran.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was tough.
Yeah, it was tough. So, big show, as always. The Top 5-5 returns in its proper form at 5 o'clock. A.J. Brown was on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast, said a few things. We'll talk about that as well. But
We have to
start off with the most depressing news of the day. Joel Embiid he's questionable, I think, still for tonight, but is definitely not going to play tonight. Shams reported that the team is looking at, and Joel Embiid are looking at, you know, alternative ways to make his knee better, which just won't get better. It gets swelled up again after the game he gets lost to the Nets the other day. So probably, I would assume, not going to play the rest of the year. And a season that we all looked at as potentially the most promising season of the Embiid era, and maybe the Embiid era overall, looks like it is over, not just over, just going down in flames.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, Spike. I got my seatbelt on today.
Uh-oh.
Hope you got yours on today.
Oh, always.
Well, here's the thing. There are so many different emotions going through me about Joel Embiid and the Sixers coming off this weekend, right? You know, the Sixers have had the benefit of sort of operating behind the scenes while the Eagles have been at the forefront of our thought process and everything. And listen, rightfully so, they played all the way up to the end. They won a Super Bowl championship. Shout out to the two-time Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. But I just, as I'm ready to dive into the Sixers and commit to the Sixers and see what we have going down the stretch, you know, Saturday was just a sobering reminder that this is hopeless. This is hopeless, pointless, useless, fruitfulness. And I'm sure as we go through these stages of grief and dealing with what's in front of us moving forward with this basketball team, particularly moving forward with the star of the team in Joel Embiid, there's going to be different stages that we go through where the anger gets pointed this way or pointed that way. And justifiably so. There's enough to go around. Players involved, front office involved, even an absentee ownership involved as far as where the frustration and anger should be placed. But I can't help but be as upset as I am right now at no other than Daryl Morey. Because quite frankly, Daryl Morey was brought here to do something different than the prior regimes. Daryl Morey was brought here with a resume that he has that should have led to fixing or completing what had been what had started here years ago with the process through Brett Brown, through Doc Rivers. We already know about the front office, general manager, the incompetence that was displayed there, which ultimately led to Daryl Morey being here. But he truly was the last hope of putting this thing together and fixing it moving forward. I'm frustrated and upset at Joel Embiid, but I'm not going to sit here and act as if I didn't have belief in Joel Embiid, that I didn't ride or die for Joel Embiid. That's there. I'm a fan of Joel Embiid, but as a fan of Joel Embiid, I'm so disappointed in the way this is headed and how it's turned out. I feel like I've been led astray. I feel like I've been lied to. As a fan, I feel like I've been duped. I feel like I've been manipulated. And not just by Joel Embiid, but the Sixers as an organization and the person who's the face of the Sixers, as far as I'm concerned, from a management standpoint, is Daryl Morey. And Daryl Morey had to know that moving forward with Joel Embiid, past his contract that he was already under, was not good business. Bringing in Paul George was not good business. Offering him more money. Paul George was brought here and only really came here because we offered him more money. I don't believe Paul George really wanted to be a Sixer. I believe Paul George wanted to be a Clipper. But Paul George wanted to also be compensated. And what's the problem with a lot of these players in the league is that the money is what leads them at times. And that's what led Paul George to being here. He's given us a half-hearted effort, whether it's because of his physical limitations or his heart isn't all the way into it. What I know is it's not a representation of what we want as a basketball player representing this city and this team for us. Daryl Morey is in charge of that. Daryl Morey is responsible for that. And I feel like until he can explain to us, which I also feel like we've been left in the dark about a lot of things as fans, we're not getting full and truthful answers so that we can have some sort of reasonable understanding of what's happening and what our expectations should be. And Daryl Morey, in my opinion, is on the clock. He's on the clock for me. Because I don't know how he fixes what's wrong with this team right now, starting with the two top players on this team. Well, the one top player is Maxey. He's fine. I mean the other two guys, the aging stars. How does he fix this? And I've lost complete confidence in this team. I've lost complete confidence with this organization moving forward. And as long as he's in charge of moving us forward, I just don't see how it gets done. I'm not calling for his job. I'm not. I'm not at that point just yet. Because quite frankly, he put us in this position. He ought to be the one that fixes it for us to get us out of it quickly. But I'm just so disappointed and angry right now at the Sixers, at Daryl Morey, at Joel Embiid, at Paul George, at me as a fan for buying into this, for believing this. I'm almost mad at myself for this. For selling this to our listeners as a pro guy, a pro Sixer, a pro Joel Embiid guy, pro Joel Embiid guy. I'm upset at myself for that, embarrassed for myself for that. But right now, man, this is bad with the Sixers, and I don't really see any type of plausible resolution happening anytime soon.
So I agree with a lot of what you said there in terms of how you feel right now. I mean, I think anyone who, myself, like not just included, but myself, you know, primarily, who you know, co-signed everything that happened this year and has believed in this up until this point, really feels stupid, kind of. I think that is the I would feel more sad about it if I didn't feel so frustrated and how stupid I feel right now for buying into it, right? I think, like, you know, you talk about the era of Sixers basketball that we've been living through, all just at least hoping for a run. I think we went from hoping for a championship to hoping for a run. And I would say, you know, looking out over the next 2 or 3 years or even 3 to 5 years, it's really difficult to even think that that is going to happen. I mean, this feels like it could be the end of all of it. And as you said, that the path forward, we'll get into that later. I don't even know what the path forward is at this point. We're so deep into this. I don't even know what to say. As far as Joel goes, I think my feelings on that are mixed too. You know, I'm disappointed at how he took care of himself over the years. I'm disappointed at how he didn't show up in a Boston series and a Miami series. But then I look at a guy who also, like, was the best or second best player in the league for 3 straight years and gave us, you know, was one of the best players we've ever seen at his peak in a Sixers uniform. And even if he had done all the right things, we might be in the same exact situation. I look at a guy whose body is failing him and may never be what he was. Mm-hmm. So I have mixed feelings on that. As far as what Daryl did, like, I have a hard time criticizing what he did because I would have done the same thing. I look back at this offseason, and you say that he is the one that put us in this situation. That's not exactly true. He walked into this situation, and he walked into a situation with Joel Embiid as the best player on the team, and his directive was to try to find a way to create a championship team around Joel Embiid. Unless you got here and you decided, I'm not doing it with Joel, which I wouldn't have done. I will say this over and over again. No matter how bad the Embiid thing ends, I saw a player who was one of the best 5 players in the league. And even with all of the issues, I will take my chances on that guy as opposed to anybody else. So once he starts building around that, he gets rid of the Ben Simmons situation, brings in James Harden. That doesn't work. You know, the James Harden situation blows up in his face, does whatever he can last year, creates what I think is a successful trade with the Clippers, clears the cap space, signs Paul George. Now, at the time, I looked at it and I said, I agree with signing Paul George. And if you're going to sign Paul George, you got to give Embiid the extension. This is where we are. So this situation is dire. It's terrible, but I would have done the same things. And I look back at the era of Daryl Morey, and I look, we got Tyrese Maxey under Daryl Morey. We got Jared McCain under Daryl Morey. Here we are in a situation, we signed Gershon Yabusele. There's a minimum contract that works, right? Mm-hmm. We look at all, we get Kelly Oubre off the scrap heap. Oh my God, look, he can play now. The Caleb Martin contract, I agreed with that. It was about half of what they thought he would get. So here we are, and it didn't work. And sometimes a bet that you make doesn't work, but it doesn't mean it wasn't the right bet to make. I still think, looking back at this past offseason, it was the right bet to make. It didn't work. It blew up in his face. It might cost him his job. It might cost Nick Nurse's job. It might cost, you know, Paul George his legacy. It may cost Joel Embiid his legacy. I would have done the same thing. It didn't work. He will have to pay for that. But I don't think what he did, looking back on it, I can't think of another plan.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing for me. And I'm not going to sit here and run off a list of players that he could have signed. He should have signed this guy. He should have signed that guy. I'm not about to do that. Quite frankly, I don't make enough money to do that. And if you gave me that type of money, where that was solely my focus, then I probably could come up with something.
$10 or $15 million a year, you might be able to come up with all the players.
Yeah, I to come up with something.
Yeah.
Here's where I don't let Daryl Morey off the hook. I understand that's tempting to sort of reinvest in Embiid, to bring in a Paul George. I understand why that's tempting, but it's also the safe route. It's the easy route. It's the, well, what else would you do? Would you have done something differently? How about you have the ability to see that this guy's history of injury isn't going to get any better. And the idea of continuing to build around that in the hopes that he stays healthy enough for you to win a title by bringing in another aging star, not a younger player, not a guy that's 27 years old, whereas, okay, if it doesn't work, at least Maxey has somebody that he can move forward with and build with. And again, I don't know who that player is, but that's if I'm Daryl Morey, that's what I should have been focused on. Not building around Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid, if healthy and if he's available, that's a great asset. But to make him my focal point of how I build this team moving forward, it was a hope and a prayer. And we've been here long enough to know, and you and I, and you bigger than anybody, are huge Embiid fans. But I know I've gone into every year saying, man, I hope this is the year. You know, give me 65 games. Give me 60 games, big fella. Play at that MVP level. Man, if you could just do this, I know how good and how far this team could go. I've done that every year of Joel Embiid's career. It's not something that you're building on based on a foundation that's there that, oh, I've seen this, and this is what it's projecting to be moving forward. Let's continue to build that way. He put together a team around guys who aren't even available. And not only that, he saddled us. He saddled us with these guys for 4 to 5 more years. 4 more years. 4 more years. Embiid was already on a contract. I understand it would have been a tough, unpopular decision to not give him an extension. I didn't agree with the Mavericks trading Luka to the Lakers at 25 years old. We'll find out whether or not that GM was right or wrong. What's his name? Nico Harris?
Nico Harris.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yep.
We'll find out if Luka is still the same, lazy, can't play defense, comes in out of shape at times, only cares about hogging the ball and getting his offense off. We'll see if that leads them to something. We'll see. And Lakers are going to reinvest in him and give him an extension and he'll resign and all that whole thing. But the Mavericks did that for a reason. And they had the guy in the building. He's completely, well, not completely healthy, but mostly healthy. GMs with those type of moves either get labeled stupid or crazy or smart. I always viewed Daryl Morey as a riverboat gambler. He made moves in Houston with OKC, moving guys in, found Dwight Howard, found Russell Westbrook, James Harden. Like, he brought guys in and out of there, man. He made moves. This one, I feel like everything has been based on Joel Embiid being here and trying to build a team around him. And at some point, Spike, somebody has to say, it's run its course. And as much as I love the big fella, that's where I'm at. That's sort of where I'm at, ultimately. And Daryl Morey has to get us out of this.
215-592-9494. The Sixers got into the process to get out of purgatory, and we wake up on, what is it, February 24th, 2025. Where are we? Seems like we're in purgatory again.
Yeah.
Just with different players. So
this is going to be awesome?
Yeah, probably not. Not for the next few years. 215-592-9494.
He's got his new football team. That's all he cares about now.
He's about to get Myles Garrett.
Corey in Columbus, you're on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Doom and gloom. I know we just from 2 weeks from a Super Bowl. I know this ain't doom and gloom. Hey, Commanders, this is what you got to look out for. Look, y'all, everybody was happy with Embiid, all them. Ray first. Hey, this is what you got to look out for. Listen, Joel Embiid is a great talent, one of the best players, one of the best bigs ever played in Philadelphia. Obviously, we know that. But Joel Embiid is a big contributor. Like, his body failed him, as Spike said. Obviously, like, you can't control injuries. But it's like, when you look at the top down of the organization, like, to me, Josh Harris, he's an absentee owner. We know that. Like, he only care about the Commanders right now because it's a hot new toy. You know, he going to start worrying about them soon, too. But if you look at Daryl Morey, like I said, he a riverboat guy. Like, he goes out here and he, like, does what everybody expects. Like, he signs a hot name. Paul George ain't never been a solution to anybody's problem. Right? When you sit up here and you look at, like, OKC, when they traded Paul George for SGA, everybody thought, ooh, remember the Clippers? Kawhi Leonard was coming off a title. Everybody thought, ooh, Kawhi Leonard, midnight, he's going to the Clippers. Everybody thought they was going to do something. What'd they do?
I don't even know if they made it to the. Did they make it to the Western Conference Finals?
They did when Kawhi was hurt and Paul George was the best player on the team.
Oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. Yeah. They lost. Was that the Phoenix series they lost?
Might have been the Phoenix.
I think it was the Phoenix series when Phoenix went to the finals.
Yes, the Chris Paul, Devin Booker team. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So you sit up here and you look at a guy like Paul George. He's never been the guy that's going to get you over the top. And you paying him at 34 years old. It's like, I look at a team like OKC and like what they invested in SGA. You got a guy in Tyrese Maxey. I'm not saying he SGA.
He's
but this
not.
Dude, Tyrese Maxey, is a stone.
SGA's like 6'6", man. I mean, what are we talking about here?
But listen, but come on now. Like, SGA's 6'6". Everybody love OKC, right? Now, OKC got talent.
Yeah, but
we going to see if they can get over the top. What I'm saying is a guy like Tyrese Maxey, you sitting up here looking at height. Like, I don't care. I'm looking at talent, the game of basketball. This dude, Tyrese Maxey, is a stone cold killer, and he out here playing with a retirement home or an injury folk. Paul George ain't never been nothing. Joel Embiid in and out the lineup. Taylor Marwin, everybody was hyped on the team, but all these dudes don't fit with him. Go out there. You got to get rid of Joel Embiid while you can. I don't even know if you can.
No. That ship has sailed for a little while.
If you could get anything for him, you know, you might get, you know, pennies to a dollar. I don't know. But the problem is that you got to move on from Joel Embiid if you want to be successful. And investing in Tyrese Maxey is your best choice right now. But that's what you got to do if you want to be.
Well, if they want to win a championship, they need a player better than Tyrese Maxey. That's the issue, is that he can't be the best player on a championship team. This and I understand the frustration, Corey, and I don't want to go through circle, you know, but this is the problem. The problem is in the NBA, you need a guy who is one of the best five players in the league, and Tyrese Maxey's not going to be that. He's a great player. I love him. All that kind of stuff.
Right, but what I'm saying is, you keep pushing back on this. When OKC made that trade for SGA, and I get it, SGA said nobody thought SGA was going to be what he is right now. Can nobody tell me when they traded Paul George for SGA, they thought SGA was balling?
No, they wouldn't have traded him.
but you know what? You know what? Everyone in this city would say the same thing about Sam Presti as they say about Daryl Morey. How many championships has Sam Presti won as general manager of the Oklahoma City Thunder?
No, but
how many?
No, he won zero.
Okay, so what are we talking about?
I'm not talking about the general manager. When did you hear me bring that up? I'm talking about the player. I didn't say get rid of Daryl Morey. Did I say that?
Nope.
I didn't say that. I'm talking about the player. SGA, this is only his second, third year showing that he could be that dude. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't think he can. I don't think he can. And thank you for the call, Corey. And if he can, he's still
here. You're saying you don't think you can win. Well, SGA needs help, too. He's not getting out of the West by himself.
I just don't think
Chet Holmgren ain't helping.
I just don't think I love Tyrese. And by the way, Tyrese Maxey's still here. So, you know, he's still here. They didn't get rid of him. They didn't trade him for anything. He's still here. He's still a great player. I still think if they're going to win a championship. Now, here's the other question is, at this point, this is the irony of the last decade we've been in. I think we would all take a good team that played every night over a team that has a chance to win a championship. To be honest with you, a nice solid 50-win team that we're all proud of or whatever. But if you're talking about a championship, you have to maneuver a way to find a way to get a player who is competing to be one of the best players in the league. And I don't think I think it's the same problem with the Knicks, right? I don't think Jalen Brunson's ever that, and I don't think Tyrese Maxey's ever that. And that is the...
Well, that's why the Knicks had to go out, and they got... they went out and got Towns.
All right. We will continue to talk about this. And next, we're going to talk about actually the Embiid physical situation and what that...
Enough.
We've had so many positive shows, honestly. God. So
man,
many.
We're back, though.
Yeah,
we're
Jack back. Comes back. And
yeah, doom and gloom, Fred, some say.
Yeah, that's what some are saying.
Until the Phils play?
That's what some are saying. All right, so we'll talk about...
rush that.
215-592-9494. We'll keep talking about Embiid and Morey and what you think about now and moving forward. And we'll talk about that physical situation next with Joel. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
You know the bad news is that if you want to fold them now, you've already pushed all your chips in.
Yeah, bad time to fold them. Huh?
Yeah, this is maybe not the right time to fold them.
You know? Haven't won much money.
No. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. All right, Ike, here is the question. Which member of the Sixers are you most frustrated with? Embiid, Morey, or Josh Harris? What do you think the poll result on that is?
I just put Josh Harris in there just for...
Just to slow down some of the voting for Joel.
Siphon off some of the votes.
Most importantly, I want to thank our fans.
I would say 80% Embiid.
No.
No!
39% Embiid, 30% Morey, 30% Josh Harris.
Wow, divided up amongst everybody.
Yeah,
everybody
almost
gets
evenly
a piece
split.
Of the pie.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So we'll talk about the future of Embiid and what that looks physically in a moment. 215-592-9494. Mad Mike makes his return, curiously absent over the last couple of weeks. Mad Mike, he's calling about the Sixers. We missed your take on Howie and Jalen and all that stuff, though. And Nick.
Hey, Nick's still a moron. Howie's still a rat-faced weasel, and Jalen is a fraud who just has a lot of toys around him.
Okay, all right.
Yes. There we go.
You call them two-time champions, Mad Mike. Hold up. And you know I love you, Mad Mike. Listen, you're a different type of phone caller, and we can appreciate you. But there's no way we could take your call without at least congratulating the Eagles on winning their second Super Bowl.
This is the most boring when this hound is happy. Ridiculous.
Well,
congratulate the Eagles, Mike, on winning their second Super Bowl.
Absolutely not.
Oh my God.
We can't even get a congrats.
I didn't even ask you to, I didn't say Howie. I didn't name out any individual. You're an Eagles fan, supposedly.
I don't know. I got to say this. I've done a lot of introspection. And I think I've kind of ruined my fandom, and now I'm angry forever.
You and Jack need to start a support group.
I turn it around, and I'm just a fraud, and I have to call myself out. So I'm just going to roll it out. And just
All right.
You've ruined your own fandom. Unbelievable.
I did. I mean, I was just like, you can't dig too deep. If you dig too deep, you're going to start to hate everything you like. And I did it to myself, and now I got to go down this course of just being Scrooge, and I got to shield my kids from it.
Don't punish the kids.
Look at this real moment of introspection from Mad Mike.
So anyway, it's good. I'm glad Embiid is done. Like, he stinks, and I've hated him ever since he told the fans to go F themselves or whatever. And I'm glad his knees are gone, and
he gets
this $190 million extension, but he's a fraud. He's always been a fraud. Good riddance.
You good getting that out of your system, Mad Mike?
Wow.
Yeah. All right. There he is, Mad Mike. The return of a toothless Mad Mike. Truly a toothless Mad Mike.
Well, that was a nice moment for him, though.
It really was a moment of honesty, him saying that his negativity, because what happens is, you start rooting for being right rather than rooting for the team.
Yep.
And I cannot relate to that.
Yeah. Right. And then you end up rooting against the Eagles because that makes your bit go away.
Yep.
Yeah, I hear you. Mm-hmm. So, Embiid, from a physical standpoint.
Yes.
So, I've been pretty consistent on this since the beginning of the season. He has said a couple of times, he has talked about fixing it, and he has talked about a surgery with a long recovery time. And we think we talked about this a bit on Friday. his condition in his knee is a chronic arthritic condition. So there is not, everyone keeps saying, well, just have the surgery and come back next year, the surgery. There is no the surgery to have. That is not an option. There, and this is one thing they were being truthful about. I think the Sixers, and I know I defend Morey a lot, they're hamstrung in what they can say about Embiid because he's always been very protective of injury information and, you know, what he can do and what he can't do. Here's the truth is that there is not a surgery to get that will fix his condition. He tore his meniscus twice. He had a meniscectomy twice where you take away a little piece of the meniscus. Some players, some people's knees recover well from that, go on just fine. You know, Quentin Grimes has had that surgery. Some players do not. Every doctor they talk to and every doctor that you don't talk to that has not looked at him will say the same thing, that if you play on it, your body can adjust, the bones in that joint can sort of harden, and that swelling that you're getting could stop happening, and you can manage it. And you will have instances, but his has been particularly bad. Unfortunately, there is not a surgery that you can have that can fix that. It's a condition. Now, there are sort of experimental is the wrong word, but just sort of like, hey, maybe this will work procedures.
Well, it is experimental.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the surgery itself is an experimental, but whether it will work is right. A question, right?
Right.
So there is a hip surgery that they have talked about that could relieve stress on the knee that would have a 1-year recovery time, but they have no idea if it would work. There are like radiation therapies that they can do. They have no idea if it will work. He is not, from my understanding, that the surgery that Lonzo Ball had, which he had a meniscus replacement surgery. Mm-hmm. Embiid is not a candidate for that. He's too big. It won't work. And Lonzo Ball was out of basketball for 2 years, still looks like a shell of himself, and is playing 20 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a player who was much younger, much lighter, and in a better candidate for that.
So when did they discover this?
They knew about this. So this is not new. They knew about it. Here's the crux of this issue. Mm-hmm. The crux of this issue is that, and again, the doctors they talk to, go talk to another doctor. They will tell you, this is not perfect. This might not work. But for a lot of players, this is manageable. Like, this is not a condition that isn't manageable. You can look at the imaging of his knee and look at the imaging of a lot of other players' knees who have had the same condition, who are playing 70 games a year. And fine, sometimes they get swelling and they get it drained and then they get back in there. So they took the bet that they would be able to manage this. His knee has responded poorly. Now, in his history, he's been injured a lot, right? Mm-hmm. There are some players who recover better from injuries than others. And a lot of people look at the Olympics. I really don't think it had anything to do with it. Resting is not going to help his knee. Resting actually does the opposite of helping his knee.
Hold on.
Yes.
See, this is where we get confused. Okay. I mean we as fans. You certainly seem more knowledgeable about this. And I'll trust you on this. But my whole thing is, you're telling me surgery can't fix it.
No.
Rest doesn't fix it.
No.
So it's really just a hope and a prayer that he can play sometimes. We'll see how long it lasts, but it could crop up and he'll be out. Because this is the reality of the situation. He's been out for extended periods of time. Like, extended periods of time. And it's hard for a fan to understand how whatever procedure he got last year before the playoffs started.
The meniscus
whatever
surgery.
That was, he decided to come back.
Yes.
Okay. There was, at least at the talk at that time, was he could have either this meniscus surgery or this meniscus replacement, or and it would take longer for him to come back. Why take the shorter option for a fruitless playoff run and a trip to play in the Olympics? Because that's what it seems like to fans why he did it.
So whether he could have – so there are two kinds of surgeries theoretically that you can have when you have a meniscus tear, mm-hmm. which is what you said. One is a repair. One is when they take the little piece of the meniscus out. They can't always do a repair. they did a repair on Jared McCain, but they don't know till they go in there whether they can repair it or not. So I don't know if that was an option. It isn't always an option. So
well, this is where...
And that's his choice,
sure,
by the way.
Sure,
and that's his choice.
This is where we as fans get left in the dark because we weren't told... Well, if he does this, this isn't an option.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's presented to us like this is an option. So he's doing this to come back for the team so he can come back and play in the playoffs. It'll give him a shorter recovery time. Like, it's presented to us like he's doing something to sacrifice for the betterment of the team, which ultimately that may have been what he was doing. But I'm saying from a big picture view, what he was going to do in the playoffs was never going to amount to anything significant. So why not take the other surgery? At least that's what we're thinking. Why
right.
not do the other surgery that may have corrected this?
Because it may not have. It may remember, he already had a meniscus. He had already meniscectomy on that same knee.
Sure.
So the fact that it was the second time may mean they couldn't repair it. And this is where I blame him, right?
Okay.
Where and this is where the team gets crushed for it. But this has been, you can look at Darryl, you can look at, you know, who the hell was before Darryl?
Who the hell was
Brand,
before
Darryl? Elton Brand.
Oh, Elton Brand.
who the hell was
yeah.
before Darryl?
Before that, Brian yeah. Colangelo.
Right.
Before that, Sam Hinkie.
Sam Hinkie, yeah.
It has always been the same issue with Embiid. They don't know. And this is one thing that the critics of him are right, and I was wrong, in that he thinks, for whatever reason, he makes this worse for everyone. Publicly, he makes it worse for everyone because people don't actually know what's going on.
Right.
And at the end of the day, the sympathy that he may get, he doesn't get because he doesn't allow the team, he doesn't allow us to know
yeah.
what's actually going on.
Yeah.
So it would benefit all of us to know, hey, doctors went in there, they decided that they couldn't repair the meniscus, this
right.
was the only surgery he could have.
Right.
And then the reason they decide to do it over the summer is the best, give him the extension, double down on all that, is the best you can do is you can say, hey, other players around the league deal with this. And not everyone's able to deal with it, but enough players around the league are able to deal with this. We think there is a world where he can deal with this. And just every time he plays, it swells up. Every time he plays, and it's not like once a month it swells up. As you can see, every time he plays three games in a row, he's out. That's what happened now. That's why he's out
yeah.
again. And
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, he misses extended periods of time. So, okay, that's one thing.
Okay.
So I think the biggest thing that I get from fans that tweeted me about this and the complaints is, and maybe we'll get to this, you may want to wait to later get to it, the extension.
Yes.
Because that's what people are like, okay, say I take all that at face value, everything mm-hmm. you just said.
Sure. Yep.
Whatever. They didn't know, whoop-de-whoop. Why wasn't there a level of concern and caution to give him three more years, to put yourself in a position that not just to get out of this contract eventually, even if you got to ride it out till it's over with after the 2 years, but to give him three more years considering all this? This is where the organization gets the blame because, yeah, the player, this, that, and the other, and he calls the shots. Okay, you can't do anything about the contract you've already given him, but you do control whether or not you give him more years.
I agree with you. Now, not because, so I don't get corrected again, essentially a two-year extension. He had 2 years and an option left. So,
okay, yeah.
He essentially had 3 years and they essentially gave him two more years.
Okay.
So this would be the answer to that. And again, I agree with you that even when the extension happened, I said on the podcast a few times, why do you have to give it to him now? Why do you have to give it to him now? Is that if you're asking him to go recruit a star player. Now, we can look back in retrospect and say Paul George was the wrong guy, but they wanted Paul George. If you're going to go back and build around him, and you want him to recruit other players, you got to give him the extension. So now,
the flaw is that you still believe and you can build around him.
Yes.
That's the flaw. There it is.
So the right move wasn't to not give him an extension. What the right move in retrospect would have been to trade Joel Embiid last offseason and to say, we don't want to give you an extension. And this happens.
That's what Dallas did.
And that's what Dallas did.
Because they got to get Luka a max extension this summer.
And we're killing them now. Just imagine if the year after Joel Embiid won MVP, we traded him.
Yeah,
I would have gone ballistic.
Well, you would have. Yeah. But some people would have been happy.
Yes, some people would have been happy. Yeah. Well, if they got one draft pick in Anthony Davis, I don't know how happy they would have been. But it, yes, I agree that the move in these situations, I have respect for what the Mavericks did, if for no other reason that they said, we don't believe that this guy's going to last.
Right.
We're going to do this a year early rather than a year late. The Sixers are now dealing with this a year late, and they're screwed. They are screwed. There's no where everyone's like, well, just trade him. Okay, go find a team.
You can't trade him now.
Yes, go find a team that wants him. So now this could end up looking like the end of Ryan Howard's contract, where mm-hmm. you had this player who was
a great example,
one of the best players you've ever seen. And all we talked about for the last 3 years of Ryan Howard, we all like to look at Ryan Howard and think about how much we love him today. All we did was we killed Ruben Amaro for giving the extension.
Yep.
And all Ryan Howard was a weight around our necks for 3 years, you know, after the Achilles injury. Mm-hmm. So then that's the situation they're in.
And five years.
They may be, oh my God, that's even worse.
2011, worse, 2016. Yeah.
We may be in a situation where literally the best thing to do is to pay him and he just sits there and watches games from his home, which is truthfully, in this depressing situation, the most depressing thing. 215-592-9494. Nick in Collegeville, you're on WIP. What's up, Nick?
Listen, I hate to call today to clean family business. You can't let that dude, that big ass fraud, Mike, on the radio without holding him to the Chuck from Mount Airy standard.
Well, he only calls like once a month,
if that.
Yeah,
it doesn't. But here's they won the Super Bowl. They didn't just win five games in a row, or eight games in a row. This dude's been ripping them since 1978. All right, since your dad was on the phone. I mean, on the radio. So you can't. That was absurd, man.
Should we ban him?
He should be banned until he says. Until his first three sentences are, "I'm mad, Mike. I'm a goofball, and I'll give the Eagles credit." And then he can start ripping them.
Right.
So great about Mad Mike.
Okay.
I feel you.
You're right, Nick. Listen, that's on us. That's on me and Spike.
Yeah, that's on us. I think we all just heard Mad Mike and felt a little bit of sympathy in that we've all been there. You know, you go so hard on a take, and you're like, you start cheering for the take rather than the team.
Nobody goes as hard as Mad Mike, though.
No, well.
Here's the difference. Like, we'll use, even though I have two brain cells and one is on vacation most of the time,
yeah.
I use at least a brain cell to come up with a take. Doesn't matter how wrong or how hard or hard I go for it. He goes, he goes to the casino 30 days in a row, right? I can go to the casino 29 days straight and lose. I mean, he's been saying there's 32 teams. They're all going to lose except for one.
Yes.
He's going to come on for 10 years and go, they suck.
Yeah, my podcast partner says it's very easy to bet that a team won't win a championship.
Yeah,
you're going to be right most of the time.
Most of the time, yeah.
Dude, you're a genius. You're the best that ever did it then.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, I just got to get this off my chest. I was anti Ben. I never understood.
Yep.
I got a Magic Johnson in 2018. Like, for what reason do I need a Magic Johnson in 2018? Unless I got the Golden State Warriors of 2015.
Right.
So I would ride hard for Joel. But this dude, man, he left me holding a bag. Like, seriously. See, you're right, Ike. He had three great seasons. Possibly he was the best player 3 years in a row. And he did that without taking his craft seriously. What happened if he really took his craft seriously during the offseason? What would those 3 years look like?
Here's the thing, Nick. I think he didn't take his body seriously. His game got better every... And I agree. And I kill Iverson for it. And I can't not kill, you know, Embiid for it.
Yeah.
Whatever chance he had, because we might be in the same situation anyway, but whatever chance he had to make the best out of his body, he screwed up. Now, maybe he took it from maybe there was a 20% chance of it happening if he did everything right, and now there's a 5% chance of it ever happening. So we may have been in this situation, but you can't look back. And I would say this as well, him treating his body that way, it sets a standard for the rest of the team. And it's part of why I look at this team this year, and when they're not trying, I almost can't blame them, because they all got here to play around this one guy who doesn't seem to take his body seriously enough to be there either. So if he's going to be your best player, he's the most talented guy I've ever seen in a Sixers uniform. Honestly, I've never seen anything like it. But I didn't see Wilt. His Wilt wasn't shooting threes, by the way. Only shot 50% from the line.
Low post, man.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think he took his game seriously. He added something to his game. He became a better passer late in his career. He was legitimately maybe the most unstoppable scorer.
The talent is
in the league.
There's no question.
Yes, and the skills.
The talent, the skill is no question.
He didn't take his body seriously enough. And I'll tell you when it pissed me off as well is when he would joke about it. When he would come back and they'd be like, "Hey, are you taking your conditioning and food seriously?" And he'd laugh about it. I'm like, brother, you know. And a lot of players get the advantage of when they get older. Like Kyle Lowry did this. When Kyle Lowry hit 30, he started taking it more seriously. Well, when you're 6 feet tall and your body's not falling apart, it's easier to do that later in your career. Mm-hmm. If Joel realizes it, he realizes it way too late. And he has wasted whatever opportunity he has had to be he's one of the greatest players, but to be a legendary player. There's something in his mentality, there's something in his personality that he does not have, and he did not commit himself to it. And I agree with you there.
Real quick, is it your buddy Mike Florio that says, you know, when Brett Brown was here, if you teach a team to lose, then it's impossible to teach them to win. And that's what Joel did. Joel, like, because he didn't take his body seriously, everybody else could come in. Look, what Maxie's doing now, you got to love him, because he didn't get all that bad juju from the best player on his team.
Right.
He works hard every day and works at his craft and works at his body every day.
I agree with you. I agree. Tyrese Maxey, as far as a work ethic, as far as taking care of his body in terms of attitude, hard work, bringing it every night and bringing it in practice in the offseason, he is exemplary with that. The frustrating part is that imagine if Tyrese Maxey was 7-1. You know what I mean?
He can't help that.
Yes.
He can't
yes.
help that. But Joel can help what he does during the offseason.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I need Tate to kick Dom to get 12 straight minutes without rebuttal.
As long as he doesn't bring up Tobias Harris.
Well, Tobias.
He told me, thank you for the call, Nick. He said on Friday that Tobias is a better low post player than Joel was, and Tobias needed 7 post ups a game last year. That part,
a little bit of a stretch there.
It's just like...
Well, hold on. You see the Pistons record this year?
I know.
Yeah.
But do you know every one of Tyrese's numbers is worse than it was last year?
Yeah, well, listen. His wins are up.
His wins are up.
I was told that's all that matters.
Is that right?
He's a winner,
He's
man.
A winner. He's a winner.
Exactly right.
He's a winner.
Don't even look at the stats.
Yes, he is a winner. We will continue to talk about Joel, unfortunately, through the rest of the day. 215-5...
You having fun in there, buddy?
Oh, tons of fun.
Come on. This is your time.
You know what? It is... I know... We mad and every right to be. I am sad. I am sad that an era of one of our teams, which had so much promise, that brought so much excitement, is ending this way. Is ending not with a thud, not with a trade demand, not with a disappointing loss in the finals, just a sputter out as the main guy just can't stay on the court anymore. And we're left look at it. It's a billion times worse.
I was like, yeah, this is worse. I'd take a disappointing loss in the finals.
This is torture. Yeah. We're going to be reminded of this every year until 2029 as we see his salary cap number. And we will look back at some point and talk about how great he was, but he will ultimately be remembered for not achieving what
he's
he could have achieved.
What if. I don't know if there's a bigger what if.
It's because sometimes you see prospects and you think, what if? Oh, what if that? He did it. You know, so
right, you got a chance to see it. Right.
Last year, this was a year ago, a year, 13 months ago, he was averaging 36 points, 12 rebounds, and 5 assists.
Yeah.
And he could have won the MVP again 13 months ago. And here, it's just in a year, it could be over. We will continue to talk about 215-592-9494. But, Ike,
Yes.
A.J. Brown went on another podcast.
Oh, my man, it's still rolling.
The A.J. Brown media tour continues.
Yeah, he's on tour. He's still rolling.
He didn't get invited to Fallon, so he's going to go on every podcast in America. A.J., if you want to come on the Ricky, we're available. High hopes. Would you have A.J., Jack?
Or you can come on the afternoon show.
Yeah.
Yes, you can come on the afternoon show.
Come on and sit on in with us.
4 hours.
1 year anniversary.
We get lunch and everything for you.
Yes, it's been almost exactly. Yesterday was exactly
a year where Jack unwound your butt cheeks. Well, we found out Jack wasn't the one who really ticked him off. It was Spike.
Right. It was me. But Jack stood in there like a soldier, like a foxhole guy.
It was the whole time. Wasn't nervous at all.
So we will find out what AJ said on Million Dollars Worth of Game. He did talk about his relationship with Jalen. He talked about rivalries. He talked about what it's like when you're winning the game, but you're not getting the ball. And we'll relive that moment from a year ago when AJ Brown was on the WIP Afternoon Show. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.